Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are in studio this week without best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. She is absent today from this call, spending some time, much-needed time with her mom, and had an emergency run to make, and so she apologizes for being absent, but I have a dear friend, trusted friend, colleague, sister, you know, just a great person that I love spending time with, Kim Skaggs. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you, Shelley, and right back at you, girl.
Thank you so much. I am I'm excited to talk to you about both of these principles in this love section of Jesus Entrepreneur, because you and I we kind of love to dance around the edges of these kinds of topics. And sometimes when we dance around the edge, we take off for the center run, right down the field. But knowing you and knowing your heart and knowing you as well as I do, this first topic, he embraced the presence of God, is just a sweet place for us to jump off today. And so thank you for being part of the show and bringing your wisdom, your knowledge, your passion, your heart to these two topics today. So I'm going to let you jump off and spin with us just a little bit. Your thoughts around this first principle, he embraced the presence of God.
Well, you know, Shelley, I can't think of anything that is sweeter to me than being in the presence of God. And, you know, early on in my Christianity, I used to think of God's presence as being a very sequestered place. In other words, I could get in the presence of God at church, or I could get in the presence of God during worship, or maybe, you know, time spent in reading the Word. And all of those things are true. You know, all of those things will usher us in to God's presence. But as I have grown spiritually and even, you know, naturally matured, I have come to find and realize that the presence of God is all-consuming and very consistent, and we can step into His presence at any time, anywhere, with anyone. And so I've become very cognizant of just being aware of God who is with me. You know, the scriptures tell us He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we think about, you know, God's personality as, again, you know, He kind of weaves in and out of our lives. But if He said He'd never leave us, that means He'll never leave us. He's always with us. It's whether or not we're paying attention to His presence.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm thinking on that. And kind of unpack for us, Kim, the, you know, what it means to experience the presence of God in other ways than, you know, in church, you know, in worship, in, you know, in those natural places where we might think God is often. But sometimes you and I have had conversations where God didn't show up at all on Sunday morning. You know, we just weren't
exactly
ready for God to show up.
Exactly.
Talk to us about, you know, what it means to experience this presence of God in our lives, moment by moment. What is that?
Well, again, Shelley, I think that, you know, in order to experience God more fully, we have to embrace the idea of His vastness. God is large and He's vast. And, you know, He comes in magnificent ways that are so obvious and so glorious, but He also comes in very subtle ways. And if I may, I'll give you three examples.
Yes, please do.
The other night I was sitting on my patio, and I was just, you know, just being quiet, just spending time alone, wanting to chill from a taxing day. And as I'm sitting here, I notice something in my peripheral vision. And this little baby bunny rabbit jumps through the yard up onto the patio and literally sits at my feet. Mm. And he's just looking at me. And I thought, you know, maybe he's not aware. Maybe he thinks I'm, you know, he's not aware that I'm, you know, a human being that could crush him. But he just looked at me. And it was, as strange as this sounds and as funny as it sounds, me and this bunny rabbit connected. You know, and we spent about 5 minutes just kind of fellowshipping, observing one another. And then he just got up and jumped away. And I sat here thinking, thank you, God, for such a precious moment. You know, again, angels, you know, there weren't harps playing or trumpets blowing. It was just a little rabbit that came and spent a few minutes with me. But I felt God's presence in that moment.
Wow. Very powerful. Great insight. Mm-hmm. You know, as Lori Beth has penned these words, he embraced the presence of God. She is... Mm-hmm. Obviously referring to Jesus as the, you know, as the Omega leader, mm-hmm. embracing the presence. Did that strike you funny, the title of this? I mean, when we think of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we talk in terms of the Trinity of that, the threeness of that, why would Jesus embrace the presence of God like that?
I think because Jesus was so utterly and completely connected to God, he was so cognizant and aware of his need for God, of his love for God, of the strength he derived from that communing with God. I just think that he walked in utter awareness of the Father at all times. And I think sometimes that's where we miss it. You know, we think about the Trinity, and we know the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but it almost becomes more of a mantra than a realization of the personalities of the triune Godhead, because they all serve very distinct functions. But I think Jesus was utterly and completely and consistently aware.
Yeah, and so, you know, in this show, in talking about the leadership style of spiritpreneurs or entrepreneurs, Omega leaders, those kinds of things, you know, how often do we practice, you know, I think that's been some of Lori's messaging this week, how often do we practice this presence in our lives? What's your guess?
Well, you know, you said a key thing there. It is a practice. And I think the more we practice the presence of God, the more skilled we become at it. But it is, for lack of a better word, it's a habit that we must get into. And I think we get diverted and distracted by many other things when all the while he stands and waits. You know, and if we would practice that presence on a consistent basis, it would make everything else flow so much more smoothly, whether it's business, family, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because as we are tuned in, our hearing becomes more acute. You know, the scriptures are clear that the Lord will show us things to come. He will help us orchestrate, you know, our plans and our purposes. But we have to pay attention. We have to be listening.
Yeah, sometimes it seems too far-fetched when we talk about this all-knowing, all-present, mm-hmm. all-consuming, mm-hmm. You know, ghostly kind of ethereal,
mm-hmm.
you know, all kinds of names, right, attached to this presence mm-hmm. of God.
Right.
So calling it up and calling it forward as a leader, how do we do that? How do we practice this presence and that you're talking about?
Well, again, you know, pay attention to the bunny rabbits.
Wow.
pay attention to the bunny rabbits because they're hopping all around.
You know, that's an interesting answer. Go ahead. Take off on that.
Well, you know, I had on our PATH community call on Tuesday evening, we had one of our participants share an experience, and I think that this perfectly defines and describes paying attention to the presence. But this gentleman is a pastor with a fairly large church in a fairly large city, and he was visiting San Francisco over the weekend. And, you know, in the hustle and bustle to get from the plane to the rental car to the, you know, the location where he was going to be speaking, you know, he passed lots of people and interfaced and interacted with lots of people. And when he finally arrived at his destination and was actually, I think he had to park a bit of a distance from where he was going to be speaking, in the process he encountered a homeless woman. And she was obviously, you know, kind of panhandling and reaching out for money. And his initial thought was, you know, I don't have time for this. I've got to go into this, you know, church, and I've got to minister to thousands of people, and I don't have time to be slowed down or stopped by some homeless bag lady.
Nice.
But something provoked him to stop. And when he did, instead of just reaching his wallet and handing her some money and walking on, he felt compelled to actually look in her eyes. And he said when he did, this is just so profound, when he did, he saw Christ. Mm. And they began to dialogue, and she actually asked him to pray for her. And in the praying, he said that the presence of God became so strong and so pronounced that it nearly leveled him, physically leveled him.
Wow.
And he was praying, and she was, his word was wailing. She was wailing. And it was actually starting to attract a crowd. Now, he went on to share that if, you know, in times past, he would have probably had some degree of embarrassment. He would not have wanted to draw attention to himself or to her or to the situation. But he said, in that moment, when I looked at her and I saw him, I didn't care. He didn't care because he was tangibly and wanting her to tangibly feel God's presence. And, you know, the beauty of the whole story was that though he was the one actually giving to her money and prayer and time, he was the one, again, who used the words that was leveled by God's presence. And he said the experience was humbling and locating, and what it taught him was the power of being present.
Wow.
Of really taking the time to look at this human being. And then he went on to compare himself to the spiritual leaders who walked by the man, you know, left for dead by the roadside. Like they, you know, he was busy and preoccupied with ministerial obligations. He didn't have time to stop and help someone in need. But after this experience, he saw the power in those scriptures. The Good Samaritan was present.
Yeah.
And by being present, he saw a need and met the need of a broken, you know, and bleeding man. And the truth is, there are broken and bleeding people all around us all day, every day. But we have to open our eyes, and we have to truly look. And when we do, it is amazing what opportunities exist for us to exhibit the presence of God. But again, it starts with the bunny rabbits. If you can't see the bunnies, you're not going to see the, you know, the man laying by the roadside bleeding.
Sure, and you know what kind of jumped into my face as you were sharing is, you and I have a mutual friend who is known as the presence coach,
mm-hmm.
and so this word presence and present,
mm-hmm.
being present, could that help create a presence?
Absolutely. I think that's what happened with this gentleman's experience in San Francisco. He took the time to be present in that moment, and the presence of God manifested. The presence of love, the presence of healing, the presence of grace, the presence of humility.
So, true. So practicing being present can create the present.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could write a book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Lori does give several examples in this chapter of very similarly to what you have talked about with the rabbit. You know, she talks about her friend Linda on the train, and she talks about her horse, and you know how she knows their sounds, and you know, just you know, being at a funeral, and you know, this 14-year-old. You know, and then she says, I think about the presence of Christ as the, you know, as the man hands me change, you know, as the clerk hands change, right? So, you know, I don't think I have ever stopped and thought about the presence of Christ associated with somebody handing me change from a transaction. But I think what she's trying to say here is exactly what you've communicated. Keep your eye on the rabbits that are that are showing up along our path, along our journey. Are you in a wind tunnel? Because it sure sounds like you are.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. It sounded really, really windy. So we've labored down on this piece. Anything else, Kim, that you want to draw out in this chapter? I think you did a great job.
Thanks, Shelley. I just think that we have to always be aware, especially if we've spent any amount of time at all in organized religion, that we cannot reduce God down to our religious boundaries.
Yeah,
He's so much bigger than that. And again, if you're looking, you're going to see him everywhere.
Yeah, and you and I have had several conversations around that. I love how she closes this chapter, that Jesus embraced the presence of God. And if Jesus is the role model for leadership and Omega leader, and Jesus embraced the presence, then certainly in our businesses, in our churches, in our classrooms, in our hospitals, you know, learning to embrace the presence of God is certainly worthy of our consideration and time as we practice that and learn to be in the presence. So thank you, Kim, for your insight on that. I love this next principle. He said, Dayenu. Talk to us about what you learned from this section of Jesus Entrepreneur, Kim, this word Dayenu.
The word Dayenu is a precious, precious word to me. It is enough. It is enough. I think that we struggle at times to feel like even we are enough. We are enough. Because he is enough.
Wow. Well, I'm sitting with that for a second. In this last chapter, there was a story where somebody was doing a workshop, one of Lori's friends or associates or someone, and instructed, instead of looking 3 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out into the future as to what you'll be doing, you know, look right now at this moment.
Yes.
And see where God has brought you to, where God has shown up, where your life is right now, and it's enough. It's enough. If there wasn't anything beyond today, this has been enough. That kind of goes against the grain of a lot of our teachings in society.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're taught that more and bigger is better. Bigger house, bigger car, faster car, nicer, you know. Sometimes more isn't better. Sometimes it's just more.
Yeah. So this Hebrew word dayenu that shows up in this chapter is one of those words you're not going to forget. It's like Jehovah Jireh, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those words that in the Hebrew translation that is just powerful, like you said.
Yes.
So how much is enough? How much is enough? Are we talking about limits here, or are we talking about something else?
Well, I think we can tie this back in with presence, okay?
Mm.
I have a friend who has been going through a transitional time in her life, huge transition, job transition, marital transition, locale, her geography is changing, everything's changing. And this transition's been going on for a while. And every time we talk, she will say, I just don't feel like I'm doing anything. I'm not doing anything. I need to be doing something. You know, but she has children who she's a phenomenal mother to. She has friends who she coaches and encourages consistently. She has family members who rely on her for guidance and wisdom. And I have to keep reminding her, you know, because you're not making, you know, $100,000 a year for the things you're doing, does in no way diminish what you are providing, the service you're providing. You know, being a mom is at times a thankless job, but wow, how can you say you're not doing anything? You're raising up these amazing children.
Right.
You know, I'm your friend, and every time we speak, you encourage me. I can't put a price on that. So I think it's all in perspective. I mean, when I'm with her, I feel the presence of God.
Sure.
And, you know, so how do you, our society, I think, has so conditioned us in a way that doesn't serve us very well, Shelley, in terms of what, you know, of the value, the true value of things. We have a very, I think, distorted.
Yes. So, going back to this, how this connects into presence is something similar Lori talks about in this chapter, is that it's about fullness. And maybe another word that we learn in coaching is fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in our world, we're not satisfied because we're not fulfilled. Are we not fulfilled because we are not filled with the presence of God, with the rabbits in front of us, with the eagle flying over our head, with the sunset on the beach, or, you know, are we not fulfilled? Are we looking into somebody else's life to fulfill us? Are we looking to a particular pastor to fulfill us, or a particular calling, or the start of a new business or a new relationship? You know, are we constantly looking for something because we're not full?
You know, I think that's it exactly.
That.
I think as long as we are looking for anything external, any externals, whether it be a person or a vocation or a church or whatever, as long as it's an external, I think that, yeah, that we're going to struggle for fulfillment, because fulfillment comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And probably is really attached to these two topics we're speaking of, presence and dayenu, you know?
Yes.
I remember growing up not really having a lot of things, right? We didn't have a lot of things around us, but we seem to be happy growing up. You know, maybe it's because as kids we realize it's not about the enough. It is about the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it is, bigger doesn't necessarily mean better. It doesn't equal or equate, you know, to fulfillment or peace or joy or comfort. I mean, you and I both know wealthy people that are not very happy.
Right.
You know, and conversely, I know people who financially are not, you know, at the top of the food chain, but they're fulfilled.
Mm.
But they also, you know, they also pursue the filler.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Good point. I like that. So as a leader, as an Omega leader, Kim, how do we shut off the engine and listen to the crickets? You know, how do we take time to think and think about the manna that we were given, the food for the day, the clothes on our back? You know, how does a spiritualpreneur, an entrepreneur, a leader that is responsible for many, many things, you know, happening, a mother who has three kids who feels like she's doing absolutely nothing, you know, how do we take that, bring it into our craft, to bring it into our career or our calling, and practice this presence and this fullness? How do we do that?
Well, I think it goes back again to what we were talking about earlier in terms of habit. We have to practice the presence of God, and that comes by habitual, intentional, consistent prioritizing. You know, if you think about anything else that you consistently do, let's say you consistently exercise, that time is set apart for a deliberate purpose, because you are expecting a deliberate result from the time spent. If you take that same mindset and apply it to an intentional, deliberate time set apart with the presence, you're also going to reap some benefits from that. There's going to be results from that time spent. The problem is, like you were saying earlier, God's kind of ethereal and he's out there, and, you know, sometimes he is and sometimes he's Casper, and sometimes, you know, it goes back to what do you really believe? Do you believe that this guy who says he's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do they really exist? Are they really real? Or are they just some, you know, triune group of people that we read about in Scripture that we're not really sure whether or not is really truth, it's really the Word of God? I think you have to examine your own heart and determine what you believe. And if you say that you believe in the Word of God and the Triune Godhead, then there should be some resulting action. You know, if you're in love with somebody, Shelley, you want to spend time with them. You want to be with them. You want to fellowship with them.
Right.
You don't avoid them.
Right.
It's not a drudgery and it's not boring.
I hear you. Good word. Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. That is a great word, is learning how to, again, and we've talked several times in this process of looking at Omega Leader, is the word balance. And I love how the Path Coach training is structured with focus, balance, productivity, and fulfillment, because it really does come, it does, you know, kind of envelop our life in a way that provides a form of habit, like you're talking about.
Exactly.
And if we could apply that in ways to grow our spiritual lives and you know, balance our leadership and run our families, you know, then I think we will get to the place of this presence and be able to say Dayenu, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a great show with you, Kim. I'm so grateful for your friendship, for your leadership, mm-hmm. for your passion for people as a coach. You can find more about Kim, and it's myfusioncoach.com, Kim, is that right?
Fusion Life Coaching.
Fusion Life Coaching?
Yes, Fusion Life Coaching. FusionLifeCoaching.com, or excuse me, FusionLifeCoaching.net.
.net.
Yes.
All right, so we will be back next week. Hopefully Lori Beth will join us again next week. And thank you so much for listening. Practice the presence and practice the word Dainu this week. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.